It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
This episode is brought to you by Amazon Prime. You know Amazon Prime is not just a shipping subscription, right? It's got everything, including streaming TV and movies on Prime Video. And of course, Prime's fast, free shipping. Go from watching your favorite shows to getting your favorite things. Whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Visit amazon.com/prime to get more out of whatever you're into.
Welcome to the Target Bastard. We're all here with John. Medical relapse. There's a stoma and Mona. Quiet guy behind the bar. Talking football, sometimes football, but it didn't get that far. Nottingham supporter, plus environmental freak. Your favorite podcast duo, stick a chew down your teeth.
And we're live.
Oh, hello there. I thought we'd put the bolt on. I was greeting the listener as if we thought the door was locked and they've just stumbled into the dog. I thought we'd agreed to sort of open like it was an actual pub and the listener had wandered in. Do you want it to be more of a sort of like a Western where they walk in and we just stare at him for a minute?
Who the fuck are you? What are you doing here?
We don't serve your sad awry around here, sailor.
Then I just gob on the floor.
Yeah. Sorry, he does that.
What a mouthful, isn't it? What do you want here, boy?
To Down the Dock with me, John Richardson, and the floor-spitting...
Matt Ford. What about it?
Now, I think we both, I don't want to speak for you, but I think we both very much enjoyed the new theme tune.
Yeah.
Guess who didn't? Some of the listeners.
Some jackass on social media.
Some jackass, yes. Not any jackass. The jackass who was the first one to suggest that we change the theme tune. Andy, thanks for taking my complaint seriously. The new ident music is perfect. In fact, I can't help but feeling your hilarious banter is now getting in the way of the music a little. If you could keep the chat to the bare minimum, I think you may have hit on the perfect podcast format. Andy from Worcester.
Some people just ain't happy known, not now, not never.
Well, actually, it's too happy. So I think.
Doesn't matter.
Are you sticking like this for the podcast?
Stick out wherever I like, boy. I don't know nothing about no podcast.
No. I can't work out if you're a cowboy or a redneck. Occasionally,
I can't either. Daddy was a cowboy, mama was a redneck.
I'm gonna stick how I want. I don't want nope.
Yeah.
Why, Sheriff?
Mama was a redneck. Daddy was a cowboy. Guess you got yourself a bit of both, boy.
It feels like I need to be the sort of damsel in distress in this. Why, Sheriff? Just who are you welcoming to this here dog? I thought this was a clean living kind of place.
Well, I can welcome you if you want to dance sometime. You tell your papa not to speak my name.
Well, that's got a bit Will Smith. Catherine says the new theme tune is incredible. Not smiley face emoji, beaming face emoji.
All this emoji stuff. I don't know where I'm coming or going. I just want to see a normal face pull a normal expression. What's with all these little round faces, thumbs up, thumbs down, that we're living in some goddamn cartoon?
Do you think perhaps you and I should write a sort of modern cowboy where these two cowboys are sort of roaming the Wild West, but they keep stumbling across not like gold-digging abandoned towns, but actual places where people have got stuff? What the hell is a Nintendo Switch anyway?
What do you mean it's a games, portable games console with detachable... joystick.
Well, I mean, let's see if any film companies come in. They're making Osman's book into a film, aren't they? So I can only assume that 37 seconds of quite weak banter will lead to us off to Hollywood.
So what you're saying is we got half the saloon like the song, but maybe half the saloon acting about to go, what is it you kids say? Slagging it off.
It's a bit like your accent. It's a mixed bag, is what I'm saying.
I see.
It's a bit Wild West, it's a bit redneck, then it pops to New York. Callum says, hello, lads.
Hi, Callum.
All right, we're lads? Yeah, all right, we're lads. I love how the show has evolved from FPL to talking bollocks. Is that evolution or devolution?
Well, I think devolution is where you, spread powers out within a territory, making them closer to the people.
Regarding the new theme tune, I still don't think it fits. Sadly, I lack the skill to make you a new song, but I think it should be more like an Irish pub song to make you feel like you're sat in the Dog and Bastard. Keep up the good work. Don't fucking stone my Callum.
Do I sound Irish to you, boy? I probably am Irish. Everyone in America claims to be Irish, but I don't think I sound like no... What do you call him? Galway girl.
Could you sing us a little bit of Galway girl? Have you got your guitar there?
Hang on a minute. Something Irishman fell in love with a Galway girl. Isn't that how it goes? Fell in love with a Galway girl.
It's a danger that Leeds United finished behind a team with Ed Sheeran's album logo on their shirt front. I don't like it. Afternoon, chaps. Says John with no H, the correct John. I feel I have to interject before this goes on too long. The new intro music stinks. It's like a bad busted song from the year 2000, brackets, not the year 3000. Doesn't fit in with the good time pub vibes we're all down the dog for. Otherwise, love the pod. Keep up the good work.
I had about enough of this John, boy. I think we should set out a search party. I don't know about all this 2000, 3000, 4000 stuff. What year it is, what time it is, who I am, because my mama was a cowboy, or any of that. But I don't like the way he's talking about us in this here podcast.
Your mama was a cowboy.
My mama was a proud cowboy. She was one of the toughest men on the Serengeti.
Okay.
No questioning my lineage. That what you all about today?
It put me in mind of a boy called Sue when you were talking then. That was the little pause.
Well, I take that as a great, great honor because that is one of my... That their song's one of my favorite. That their songs. Papa would play it to me because he was a redneck. My mom was a cowboy. And we would sure feel happy.
Well, tie up your pony.
I think I want to stop doing the voice now.
Oh, yeah. I want you to.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah. I think we're all ready. I wondered if you'd had a breakdown. I didn't want to say anything. It sort of got to the point where I was just going to quietly message your wife while we record and ask her just to give you a hug afterwards.
Oh, well, that'd be very kind. I'm sure she doesn't
do that
need...
now, obviously. Now you've stopped. I'm going to send her my usual message.
Which is what?
Torture that bastard.
She does not need written prompts to do either.
Hello, John. Matt and Landlord Daniel. Do you like that?
Not my name.
Oh, Chris and what? Danny?
Yes.
Oof.
You were Chris and Danny?
Yeah.
Do you parents
know the
clean...
reason?
Well, yeah.
Named after a dead cousin. Good luck with that.
Back down into the cellar.
Good luck with that one.
Hatch opens, lobs a grenade downstairs to the tune of clinking bottles.
Crikey. A heavy mantle to wear that, Danny.
Yeah.
And what about the landlord bit? Was your granddad a publican?
I wasn't christened landlord.
Oh.
Are you opening a flask?
Oh, I was actually, yeah, sorry.
What are you
it's
doing?
It's the perfect follow-up to the Chino conversation last week. What have you got in there? Some soup?
just some water.
Why keep water in a flask? Is
it's
it
one of them
half?
Chili bottles, isn't it? It's
is
one of those metal.
Is it a half thermos?
It's a little
chili bottle.
Little bottle, yeah.
So, when we put out for features this week, our great and talented friend Tim Reed, the writer and host of podcast rival podcast Fist of Firsts, he sent in a wonderful suggestion around beverages and snacks. And of course, we should be settling down each week at the Dog and putting in our order with Landlord Danny. He's on the water because he's a consumer professional. What are you having, Fordy?
Right now?
Yeah.
Filtered tap water.
Oh, la-dee-da.
Well, I live in London. I can't.
All right, keep bragging.
I can't stand the taste of London tap water.
Well, it is your favourite drink, so you are you're well placed to judge. Do you like the water when you come to my house?
I do. I particularly like the water in Scotland.
Do you?
Yes.
Well, why don't you fucking go there then?
Well, I do sometimes.
You like that? But do you ever get that from Caboose when you're getting about, you've been slagging off our water again? Yeah, I'll listen to your podcast, you little shit. I'll tell you what, if you like Scottish water, why don't you fuck? I'll drive you up there now. I'll stop the meter. I'll drop you off at Loch Lomond and you can fucking drink it dry.
How long do you think it would take me to drink Loch Lomond?
Oh, I don't think you could. I think it would fill faster than you would.
Part of the problem is, obviously, now that I need to do that, my dick, is that I could drink it all, but it would rupture my bladder. I wouldn't feel when I was full.
Still a bit of a brag in there. I could drink it. I could drink Loch Lomond, mate. Don't you worry about that. It's a while since we've had Fordy's hyperbole. Does that count? I could drink bloody Loch Lomond, mate.
Well, I obviously know that I couldn't, but I'm a thirsty boy on a hot day. I think I could take in a fair amount.
thirsty boy on a hot day.
Whoa, I know. But these hot days are coming more and more frequently, John.
Cider with Rosie. He was a thirsty boy and it was a very hot day. And we all knew what was going to happen.
And what is going to happen to me?
You're going to guess what I'm drinking.
I think you're drinking something with, what do you call it in? What's the concentrate when you add water to it?
Squash.
Squash.
I'm not. I'm going to open it now and see if you can guess.
Okay.
All right. Are you listening? It's like ASMR.
Uh-huh.
There you go. Did you hear that? What are you hearing?
God. Sounds very complicated.
Yeah, hang on. There it is. There's the bit I want. Pop that there like that. And shut there like that. Boop. All right, here we go. And then I'm going to pull that. Any clue yet?
San Pellegrino.
Here's the final bit of clue. What do you think of that? And now I'll have a little sip.
Yeah, go on.
Oh, fucking hell.
Is it a box of red wine?
It's a box of red wine, landlord. Yeah. Danny, where's the car?
I'm a fool.
I mean, I would say it needs time to breathe, but I don't think you really breathe boxed wine, do you?
How does it taste?
It's not the best wine. Let me have another bang on it.
What brand is it?
Oh. It's wine of Argentina, Mendoza Malbec. It's coming in at 13%. It's it keeps for 6 weeks. It's got 3 bottles inside it. And I'll tell you what, there might be a cheeky little bottle left after 6 weeks. Depending on how many pasta sauces or rich stews I make with the remainder. Because it is slop.
How is rich stew?
He's very well. He's at the end of the bar. Do you want to say hello to him?
Hi, Stew.
Hello.
How are you feeling?
Rich.
Oh, lovely.
How are you?
I would say happy.
You're still living in London, aren't you?
Yes, I am. What's that got to do with
it? Well done.
Thank you.
Nice got out of in. Got out of the Midlands, didn't you?
Yes, but I go back to watch football and see family.
Yeah, football. Danny, another creme de menthe, would you?
I love rich stew.
Oh dear. I thought I'd close out the boxed wine conversation. I picked up a box when I was shopping this week. I think I paid £15 for it, which 3 bottles, £5 a bottle. You'd assume from our sums recently that that's going to RRP at 6 or 7. I thought that'll be palatable. It's a fruity and medium-bodied wine. They did have the, called the Alto 6 or something that was recommended by a couple of our listeners. Mm. It didn't say vegan on the packaging. May well be vegan. Couldn't be asked to Google it. So the only one available to me at that time that was vegan was the Wine of Argentina, the land of the saviour of mankind, Marcelo Bielsa. He's a big fan of Argentinian Malbec. I don't drink from the box. Fuck the carton. Carton de puta.
Can you drink it throughout the episode? And if it does, if you do start to warm to it, do let us know. Because I imagine the first one out is not going to be the best.
Well, that's my concern. If that happens with a bottle, I think that's fine. I'll just leave it sit for 10 minutes while I have a few beers to destroy my palate. I don't think it's going to change. Might change in the glass. Let's see.
I think it is going to change in the glass. That's what I mean. I didn't think you were just sticking your gob to the nozzle. Fuck it direct like a big wine boob.
Oh, no. I wish you hadn't compared it to a teat.
Well, that's what it is.
Shall we take suggestions for pub snacks to have whilst we do the podcast?
Good idea.
There may be an exceptional snack that we're not aware of. Hello@downthedog.com. And we'll start by putting in an order, having a drink and having a snack.
Well, I'll tell you what. I trialed ahead of the curve, and this is how... You know what? You know when they talk about footballers being telepathic? I think you and I are like this. I think we're like the two raptors in Jurassic Park or Shearer and Sutton. I'd already tried
Can I be Shearer? I don't know whether to be Shearer or Sutton. I don't want to be Sutton. But equally, if I'm Shearer, then I know you want to bang me.
Well, talking of telepathy. Why? I trialed a new snack.
Go on.
There's a new Walker's Flaming Hot range. They've done it in What's It, Max and Dorito. I tried...
Dorito.
Yes.
Yeah, I knew you would.
It triggered my bag with immediate effect. It basically just went... Poof, and about a litre come out fast.
Right.
So I guess it has that. I'd also had some black coffee, so it was a real pincer movement.
This episode is brought to you by Amazon Prime. You know Amazon Prime is not just a shipping subscription, right? It's got everything, including streaming TV and movies on Prime Video. And of course, Prime's fast, free shipping. Go from watching your favorite shows to getting your favorite things. Whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Visit amazon.com/prime to get more out of whatever you're into.
I love a good slouch, don't you?
No, not at the moment.
Why not?
Well, I've got a middle-aged back, and I'm not implying there's anything more serious about it than that, but I notice that I slouch more now, and I think, oh, hang on, how many more years of slouching have I got before I'm a stooped 60-year-old? And I'm making more of an effort now with my posture than ever in my life, especially when I drive. Sometimes I have to sort of crank it back up. I sort of drive like Mrs. Doyle from Father Ted. Like she's holding a tea tray. And I think, oh, God, sort yourself out, man. So I'll deliberately lock. I know you're not supposed to, but I'll lock the elbows just to force myself back against the headrest. And then I'll sort of try and relax slightly from there.
I think what we need are almost like meat hooks, but for under the arms, but comfy. That would almost hold you up, like almost like you've got a what they call clothes hanger in the back of your shirt.
Mm-hmm.
A kind of underarm winch for cars and seats where you sort of relax onto that and that keeps you upright.
Yes. Is there a danger that you sort of lean into it and fall asleep?
Oh, that's a good point.
But I wouldn't mind. I mean, now you say that, I wouldn't mind a sort of sleeping bag with arms and legs and... As a nap, basically climb into a huge sort of slanket, be suspended and just experience sort of a space nap, a weightless nap.
You do look a bit batty as well. Do you know what I mean? You've got a slightly rodenty face. So it would suit you. Maybe there is something in that, you know. Here's a theory. The animal you kind of look like is maybe the way that you want to sit or sleep.
Do you think? What animal do you think? I think you most resemble a koala bear.
Okay. Yeah, that's good.
In a tree?
Yeah, I like trees.
I'm not seeing it. I think I've just had my Dragon's Den moment. You know, you identify a need. I think I've Googled. It's mainly tired parents talking about when kids stop napping.
You. I invented the suspending element, the crucial bit.
Did you? Well, we'll have to listen back.
It's old as up in the car.
Oh, you were talking about...
If we ever set up a business, you would cut me out of any deal.
Oh, absolutely. I'd have to at some point.
You've just shown your hand.
I'd have to at some point, the way you'd run the books. This conference you went to at Roosters, how many sleep slankets did we sell there? You seem to run up a bar bill of $4,000.
But that would be money well spent.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, not for the business. Yeah, I'm gonna draw some pictures. I'm not gonna stop thinking about that though. It's basically a
hammock.
What do you call it? The dirty bathwater that you share with people. Float in the water. What's that called?
Swimming.
No, a tiny little swimming pool, pitch dark. Oh, in a flotation health tank. Center. Flotation tank. It's that kind of vibe, isn't it?
You ever done it?
Yeah. Do you not remember when we lived together and I went a bit mad?
Yes, but I wouldn't narrow that down to one particular one.
Yeah, I drove to a flotation tank next to a golf course. I think it was near Alton on the M3. I think there's something in it. I couldn't quite get into it because of the, like, I could hear the reception staff from inside it for all the music. And I'd seen the person who'd used it just before me. And you sort of want to feel like you're stewing in your own filth. And I realise the water's so salty, obviously nothing can survive there. But you still think there might be, you know, bits, offcuts.
Scabs and flakes.
Yeah, I would try it again. But the problem is I'd want my own. And that's a big investment, I think.
Toe crud.
But it's one of those situations. I always find it with meditation. Well, you're trying so hard to relax, it's almost impossible to relax.
Yeah.
And it's the same in the flotation tank, because you've only got half an hour. You're like, right, fucking don't focus on anything. Don't touch the sides. And then you think, oh, hang on, it's really shallow, actually. So if I lean forward, my bum will touch the bottom. And by then, half an hour's gone. And you're like, oh, fuck it. They're cranking the lid open. Like a little disturbed rat.
I imagine when they opened it up, they're like, someone's fallen in it. Oh, no, it's really I thought we had a bat in there. Sorry, mate.
It was like a sunning bed where they just left someone in. It's just a little old raisin in here. How long has he been in here? 3 weeks. Well, just try to relax.
Oh, I think that's the problem. When you're really trying to relax, that's very difficult. Because that's then impossible to relax, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, you don't show me someone who goes into that because of your general good attitude.
Well, we all need to relax, John. I like to, but I think I do it. I don't plan to relax. If you know what I mean. If I feel tired, I'll have a lie down. Is that dumb? Am I underestimating the scale of the relaxation you needed?
I think it's relaxation as a sort of a regular thing to be able to access that space where you can. I don't believe in it, but every now and again you think, well, I should probably try. And it's an age thing, isn't it? I reckon these books, they sell to the same group of people every about 8 years. People download the same audiobooks about breathing and mindfulness. And then those people think, ah, fuck that. I'll just have a few more beers and I'll go for a run every now and again. And then the next generation come through and need that, and the same books sell over and over again. And I tell you what, I plan to write one of those books and exploit those people for all they're worth.
Well, I would read it. But talking of book club, John, last week we reviewed Andy McNab's Bravo 2.0. This week we're doing film club. Have you watched Barbie?
Oh, no, but I have listened to the book. I forgot about Barbie. I've almost at the very end of The Winter of Our Discontent. Have you started it
yet? I've not listened to a single syllable yet.
Have you not?
Well, it's different for me. You drive, don't you? So you've got, that's where you're going to do most of your listening.
Yeah, I drive. And as a result of when I drove to you, I started it. So I had a good 2.5-3 hour then, 2.5-3 hour back. And then after that, I was sort of really into it. So I have been listening to it around the house as I do odds and sods. And I'll tell you, it's a very different vibe to the McNab. It's very good. I won't discuss it any further until you've listened for fear of swaying you. But no, I haven't watched Barbie.
Okay.
There's been too much football since we last recorded. There's been Champions League every night, hasn't there?
There has. Well, so that we don't get backed up, I'm just going to tell you about Barbie.
Okay, because I'm probably not going to watch it. So that's
great. So this is just one man's opinion. I can't speak for all men or all...
Which man? Yours?
Yes.
Or you just overheard someone talking about it and thought, that'll do. I'll just have that as my opinion.
I was a bit let down by it. I was very excited to watch it. I thought the trailer was superb. And I was like, oh, this is going to be very good. And it still is very good. But
so it's very good?
No, I'd say it was good. Three stars.
Rolling back.
But I thought it was going to be a 5.
Did you? Why?
Because I thought the trailer was excellent. I really like Margot Robbie. I thought the idea was very good. I thought it was funny that it was going to be subversive. And, you know, sometimes things are a bit too on the nose rather than being elegant, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
And it's just a bit, sometimes you just. Also, I just think it's odd that in a film that
takes the piss out of men inventing Barbie or whatever, or men certainly like controlling Barbie, that then Ryan Gosling as Ken is given like more funny stuff to do. And you're like,
yes,
Barbie is then very serious. And you're like, I get that, but give her a bit more fun stuff. Some funnier lines. It was almost like he's the comic character in it.
That's the opinion that I have got, having not seen it. And I just heard other people talk about it. So that if asked, you know, people who don't like football just know a few things to say, I would say it's a bit mad that the sort of the best scenes are with Ken in it, because the whole point is about that, isn't it? All right, guys.
But I guess the good thing is it made me appreciate Ryan Gosling as a comic actor.
Well, you can't put a price on that, can you?
No. But then I feel mean-spirited. I almost feel guilty for thinking that. I feel like, well, that shouldn't be my opinion, should it? My opinion should be this is excellent and everyone's in it, it's excellent. But if that's not how you feel having consumed something, John, you've got to speak your mind, you know? I don't want people to think, oh, you're just an old man. What an old man take. Oh, you dusty old get.
I think film reviews are one of my least favourite things. That's what
but
I think.
It's like journalism that requires no expertise a lot of the time.
Oh, yeah, just... go on. Go on.
Journalism and food, dating.
You and Kermode, head to head, the next big celebrity boxing match. Doing,
oh, God, I couldn't do that anymore. There was a time where
anymore.
I might have done that. Well, there was a time in my prime where I couldn't
before
have done
this, I'd have fucking leathered anyone. Don't you worry about that.
I'd have got up for it.
I'd have got ripped and I'd have stepped in there with Tyson Fury if he'd have looked at me askance.
Well, you know
not
what?
Now,
you
though.
Say that. I don't even remember. There was a period of time where I was going to have a charity boxing match with Steve Collins, the former super middleweight champion of the world.
I don't remember that. Was this in your Talk Sport days?
Talk Sport days, yeah. Idiotic. I was like, oh, I'd be fine. Now I'm like, he'd have killed me with one punch.
Yeah.
There's no way I could have got fit enough to do that.
But the, idiotic. I thought the whole point of these things is not to take on a boxer.
Yeah, I was just, it was a bit of banter that got out of control. I mean, he was really up for it.
Does he still text you now? Just so you know, it's still on.
I'll tell you what, it was just one of those things where you just kind of think, oh, well, you know, he's not really going to hit me that hard. But then you think, well, once you're in the ring with a man who's a professional fighter, I can't believe I asked you. I remember having conversations with people. I remember them now. I think, God, I must have sounded like such a wally.
What did you say? It'd be all right. I might
get
a train
hard enough. You're like, it would have taken me years. And then even then, stupid. So thank God that didn't happen.
What would be your celebrity sporting competition of choice now then? If you could have a few months to train up at anything and take on anyone. Obviously boxing's out.
Darts or snooker, I think.
Yeah? Oh, well, like that. I will come on to that shortly. Who would you take on? Who's your rival? Andy McNabb?
Do you know what? I don't have a nemesis, do I? So I don't know who it would be.
Not that you know of. You might just not know.
Okay, well, who do you think would have a burning desire to thrash me in a sporting arena?
I think in like a sports anchor, you know, like a Pugac or someone
Lyman,
like that.
Ryder.
I sort of think light. Yeah, you've gone a sort of generation older there. I'm talking about your current crop, your Manish, your, you know.
Lineker.
Yeah, you take Laura on Woods. Lineker. I'd like to see you take on Lineker at darts.
I think he'd beat me. But the thing is, he's an ex-athlete, isn't he? So it's not... You want someone who's just purely been a journalist or broadcaster.
Well, should we try and set this up as a grudge match? Because what we could do is seed it over the next few weeks. Obviously, the listeners now are in on the secret. But over the next few weeks, just drop in a few, you know, a few cheeky little jibes about this person. And then, yeah, just see
if they bite. What were you going to come on to? You were going to come on to something.
Well, you discussed snooker there. I am tomorrow night recording the World Snooker Tour podcast from the Crucible Theatre, where I will play a frame of snooker with Stephen Hendry.
Oh.
And I wouldn't say I have the sexual feelings about Hendry that you have for your Shearer, your Delalio, but I am very starstruck by Stephen Hendry. Fucking loved Stephen Hendry. I think I've talked about it before, that era of sport when you had Hendry, Schumacher and Sampras just dominating.
He's a lovely man, you know.
Hendry.
I met him once at Talk Sport and he was just fantastic. A proper gentleman.
Yeah.
Very easy to talk to. Very charming. But like normal, you know, not a superficial way. Just a genuinely nice man. totally being himself.
She'll be alongside Judd Trump and current world champion Luca Brasil.
I mean, you're going to play one of the all-time greatest players.
Yeah, I'm very, very excited about it, I have to say. I've been to the Crucible a few times to watch. Oh, not very well at all. I went to play snooker with my friend Alan not long ago. And I thought I was all right, actually, because I hadn't played for a few years. And I thought, you know what? Not bad form here. And then as I came out, I looked at the other tables and I realized we'd been playing on a three-quarter length table and not realized. So, I mean, on a full-size table, I think my eyes have gone. They wobble gone now. They're not up to it anymore. I'm safe to drive, by the way. Can't stress that highly enough. I'm a wonderful driver. But when I go to play a long shot now, the object ball sort of wobbles about a bit. I can see a couple of object balls. I couldn't feather a safety now. Not for love nor money.
So you're going
to
practice
aim to
this
just
game.
Hit it full ball. Now I'm a fuck.
Not
That's
even
the
play, like,
wonderful thing about ball. Being a comedian. Nah, because I don't have time. And I mean, I've got tomorrow, basically daytime, while my daughter's at school, to get to Stephen Hendry's level at snooker. And I would accept that's quite a big ask.
Do you think he might play at a reduced capacity to help you out, to make it more of a contest?
I hope he doesn't, because otherwise the podcast's going to go on for a fucking week. If he plays at my level, it's going to be awful. It's going to be 7 hours of people going in behind the yellow and not being able to hit the green. It's going to be absolute torture. So I hope he steps up and just wipes them. I'd love to see him put in a century live.
But not just in front of you, but at you. Because he,
on me.
Well, you'll have played Stephen Hendry at snooker. That's like saying that you that you boxed Muhammad Ali or
podcasted with Matt Ford.
For those who hold that view, yes, then of course. Yes, of course. That would be a thing.
I like the way you said that.
Really?
Yeah, I did. So I'll fill you in on the next pod. I'd love to just... My high break is 24.
Okay.
Three red blacks. And I can't see myself getting anywhere near that. But I'd love to. I'd love to play one shot where he goes, ooh. Do you know what I mean?
You know what?
Just one long red.
He might give you tips.
Well, I hope he does. I assume that's what the podcast's going to be about.
So, you know, when you're coming onto the cue ball like that, what you need to do is just roll your left hand and try and just aim just off center on the cue ball. And you'll see that your reaction's a lot better there.
That little noise you make when you deliver the cue ball, that, yeah, don't do that.
And I know you need to use a step to get up to the table. But to stop yourself wobbling, maybe wear stabilizers.
Fuck off.
If you could just get your dad to hold you up, I think that would be easier.
Next
Maybe use
podcast.
One of those winches. Yeah.
Hover over the table like Tom Cruise in Mission Impossible.
You could use your bat bag.
Oh, I think we're going to have to end the podcast. He's going to sleep. He's having a wee nap. It's just dribbling slightly on the blue ball. The one on the table. So I will update you next time on how I got on playing Stephen Hendry at snooker. Are Forest playing this weekend? Is there a grudge match coming?
It's Forest Everton on Sunday, a relegation six-pointer.
Oh, Dyche returns to his former club.
He's in trouble, isn't he? Away at Everton.
Okay.
They beat us at our place earlier in the season. We have to go there and win. It's as simple as that, John.
Do you think you will?
I think it's very possible. I think with... Kibbs White, Chris Wood, Anthony Elanga, Callum Hudson-Odoi, many others, that we have players more than capable of scoring one or more goals.
Is it a Saturday 3 o'clock job?
It's a Sunday afternoon, super
Ooh,
Sunday job.
Live on Sky.
Ooh. Now, we've had a snooker table in the pub this episode because you'll be chatting to Hendry. We also have a note about Colostomy Corner from Richard.
Wonderful.
He says, I'd like to join Colostomy Corner as I was diagnosed with Crohn's disease 3 years ago and have been in and out of hospital multiple times a year since being diagnosed due to flare-ups. Crohn's disease has affected my life massively. I've lost friends from it, lost career opportunities, suffered from depression, anxiety, and much more. He says, to say it's taken a lot from me is an understatement. Along with this, I also have
ankylosing spondylitis.
Yeah, how do you know that?
I've just got to the email. And sorry to say, it's one of those things that I know from the comedy of Frank Skinner, who used to have a routine about ankylosing spondylitis.
Oh, well, thank God someone on this podcast can pronounce it. It's an autoimmune disease which causes arthritis in my spine and ribs, including fusion of the bones. I mean, before we go any further, Richard, I'm so sorry to hear that you've had such a difficult time with things. He says, although I have these chronic autoimmune diseases which have no cure, I'm determined to keep living life to the best I can. I'm a special needs teacher and work with learners with profound complex medical needs, and I love my job. You will never meet a stronger, happier, and more inspiring person than a special needs child. No disease will get in the way of me doing what I love, which is teaching. This is phenomenal, Richard. He says, I can't read that out. It's about me. But he
says, do you want me to read that?
Go on, you read that bit out.
Very nice about you, isn't it? I want to say how much of an inspiration Matt has been regarding his medical diagnosis and surgery and new stoma bag. I one day most likely will need a stoma bag, possibly quite soon. I've been terrified of having one, but Matt makes me feel more positive and happy about getting one. The positivity, fun and normalcy you've shown regarding your stoma has filled me with hope and helped me to feel less afraid.
Well, thank you very much. He then says something nice about you, which I shall read. John, you're my favourite whining c***. You've got the face of a the body of a freak. He says, you're my favourite comedian. I love listening to you rant. You both bring joy to my life and have inspired me and my friend to make our own pub podcast together. Richard.
Excellent.
Chelmsford. Richard, don't worry about having a stoma, genuinely. It's nowhere near as bad as you think. And it just, you just get used to it. The body and the mind adapt to what is actually quite a small change. And you are now in Colostomy Corner forever. You have a season ticket, a permanent pass, a lifetime supply of the of colostomy bags, gratis. I mean, not literally, just within the reality of this podcast in the Dog and Bastard.
And can I just say thank you for your compliment, and on behalf of myself, Matthew, and landlord Danny, let you know that if you do decide to make your own pub podcast, we will sue the shit out of you. So I'm sorry to hear you've had a rough time, but don't make it worse by stealing our idea, because we are very litigious.
Yes, we are. We will come after you, Richard.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
your little mate. I don't think we won't. We're going to start giving people...
Oh, well, I probably won't, actually.
No, but I felt that we needed to go in hard to
yeah,
discourage.
We scared him off, haven't we? And then actually you just climb down. Then you go matesy about it. We probably won't. Do you know what, actually? Do you know what? Do what you like. See what happens. Do what you like. See what happens.
Yeah.
We've had some really good feature ideas. Yeah, see what happens, mate. That'll be a new feature. See what happens. So thank you to everyone who sent in feature ideas. We're going through those. I particularly like someone suggested that we do a pub quiz every week, purely because you have said that you hate pub quizzes, and that noise is why it's bang on. So we'll read that email in full, but it's one of my favourite ideas so far, along with Nick's suggestion, Jason Snacketeer, where we get Jason McAteer to bring us snacks. I don't think it's feasible, but it's a good title for a feature where we eat pub snacks. Thank you for all your suggestions and keep them coming in.
We do keep them coming in, but saying, oh, let's do a pub quiz, you're saying, let's just make the podcast a bit more boring.
No, because we'll get questions that are of interest and that are talking points, and the listener will be absolutely enthralled by your discomfort and displeasure.
But
you've had an easy ride of it the last year or so, I would say, and it's about time you started getting needled, all right?
Why?
I'm gonna ask you questions that are difficult to answer just because you don't like it.
It's not entertaining. But if I don't like it...
Yeah, but you're making it entertaining now. Oh. Do you know, even my daughter's learned this at 7, so sometimes I'll just like prod her while she's watching telly or something like that. I just, nah. And I'll go, do you like that? Just to piss her off, just because I'm a piece of work. Or I'll just annoy her. I'll make a noise. I'll do an accent she doesn't like while I'm driving, something like that, just to piss her off. She's learned at 7. If she just says it doesn't bother her, then I'll stop. So I'll go, is that annoying? She'll go, no, I quite like it, actually. I go, ah, shit.
All right, actually, you're right, actually. I forgot to mention, I love pub quizzes, and I find them very exciting, deeply enthralling, highly entertaining, and would relish any feature about quizzes, quizmasters, questions, general trivia.
Fantastic. Well, you heard it from the man himself. Join us next week for the first ever Down the Dog pub quiz, as well as news of how I got on playing Stephen Hendry at snooker. That's it for this episode. We will be back next week with another. Until which time, don't get up the cat, get down the dog.
We also want your foreman and strand ideas.
Foreman, it is. Your own name is a syllable you can't pronounce.
My papa was a cowgirl. You got a problem with that? You got a problem with me.
I'll tell you what, that wine's getting worse.
Is it?
It's not just not very nice, it's horrible.
Am I going to see you in the next couple of weeks so I can have a bit?
Bloody hell. I mean, I could bring it to you in a fucking year and it would taste the same. It's outrageous. So if you want to email Hello at Down the Dog with suggestions of what I can do with 3 litres of shit wine.
Ooh, that was something I enjoyed when we were guessing the price of things. Ooh, so a new feature called Price Point, where you win price points.
No, that's boring. That's more boring than a quiz.
That is worse than a quiz.
Oh, it was great entertainment.
What do you think? And I'm just going to name a product from a supermarket and you guess how much it is.
Yeah, people send in products and you and I guess. And Danny tells us which one got closer.
Okay, let me tell you now, you've got 30 seconds to make this interesting. So I'm going to my online banking app now and I'm going to tell you something I bought. And if in guessing the price you can make me laugh, then you can have this as a feature.
Okay.
Okay?
Yeah.
So I'll tell you what I'll do. I will ask you the cost of a Genie Point charge. So whilst we were having breakfast in the hotel the day after we got leathered together, I stuck the old car on charge. How much did it cost me to half fill my car with juice?
Okay. So it's got about a 300-mile range on it. Half of the battery would be around 150 miles. I'm going to guess...
That's what we've got time for this week.
Please stop. 35 quid.
£24.50.
Not far off. I don't own a car, electric or otherwise. So for a stab in the dark when pushed and bullied by a landlord, I thought that was pretty damn good.
Okay, you're £10 out on a £25 product. So that's a pretty hefty leeway. And crucially, I think that was tedious.
No, I got panicked. The idea of Price Point is that... People send in products or services, whatever.
It's not even to do with our lives. The idea with Price Point is even more boring than that because it's something that somebody who's not there has bought.
It's a competition between two ancient friends and it runs over the course of the season. And whoever gets closest gets the price points.
Okay.
It's a play on words as well.
Yeah. Channel 5 might be interested.
Telly, terrestrial. Yeah. It's one of the top five.
So Danny would be the sort of quiz master, I assume. Are you up for that, Landlord Danny?
I'm not doing it.
Why are you so against this? We've done way
it's
worse.
So it's number wang.
That's not number wang.
Stop it's saying number wang. Wang.
It's number wang.
It's number wang. Number wang's a game without any rules. It's just made up. Oh, my alarm's going off. Shut up.
Oh, bloody hell. It's all kicking off, isn't it?
It's
your house alarm?
No, it's the office. It's 2 o'clock. It goes off.
So have you said that's when Fordy needs a piss? That's very good of you.
It's when there's an item that comes up that's really boring on the show.
Man.
Is there a incentive for John to score a certain amount of points against Stephen Hendry?
Okay.
Fordy.
Okay. If you score...
You get me a better box of wine.
Okay,
a box of premium wine if I score
30 or above.
Oof, in total.
Well, yeah, not in one visit.
Against one of the greatest players that's ever lived.
But he's gonna play at half tilt. He's gonna
I think it's doubles as well. I think he's gonna be on a team with Mark Watson and I will be on a team perhaps with Judd Trump or Luca Brasseau. I doubt I'll get a fucking shot, to be honest. But 30 points, but it has to be a £30 plus
box of wine. Different. You've got a professional player on your side.
Yeah, but I'm talking about me personally. Points at my tally.
Okay. Full-size snooker table.
What about you buy me wine to the value of my points title? Yes, full-size table at the Crucible.
Okay.
Probably not going to let me on the match table.
That's a good one. I will buy you a full-price bite of wine according to your price point.
Oh, you son of a bitch.
You bastard.
I think it's taking root, it's taking hold. You've got to play Price Point to win the gold.
Have you done your catchphrase?
I haven't. Get in touch with us at hello@downthedog. And remember, it's Winner Stays On, so send us your new theme tunes and stings for items. And join us on another slice where, for the price of half a pint a month, that's right, just £3 a month, you get the exclusive Down the Dog lock-in. You get another couple of episodes a month, outtakes, and much more. Go to anotherslice.com/downthedog. And for the love of God and your own body, leave a 5-star written review, and we'll see you next time. And remember, don't fuck your stoma. Welcome to the Dog and Bastard. We're all here with John and Matt. Chatting bollocks twice a week now. Unless there's a medical relapse. There's a stoma and a moan.